The reading today comes from Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, John. It's great to have God's word read with a passion. And let me say, it's such a privilege to be here this morning to preach from Psalm 96. Now, I must say, I felt a little bit like I was getting the short straw when John was allowed to preach on the God of the gospel. Larry was allowed to preach of the glory of the gospel. And then I had to preach about the urgency of the gospel. Now, in the course of this week, I must say, I really got excited about this urgency of the gospel, and I hope that you too will hear this sermon about Psalm 96, and you will be more passionate, more convicted of the urgency of the gospel. And to that end, let us pray. Almighty Father, we do give you great thanks. And we praise you for this wonderful part of your word. Thank you that through it you speak to our minds, our emotions, and our actions. And we do pray, Father, that all that we do as a result of this psalm would be to your glory. So help us listen to this end, and let us hear the call to action in these verses. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the theme is the urgency of the gospel, and I wonder, as Don read these verses, I wonder if you picked up this sense of urgency even as we read the psalm together. Although this psalm addresses our mind, we see this very clearly in verses 4 and 5, and although it speaks to our emotions, we see this especially at the end in verses 11 and 12. This psalm really is not a highly analytical academic piece of research. It's not a fuzzy appeal to the emotions. It's a call to action. And so as we dive into this psalm, let me ask you, are you going to allow God's call to action to call you into action? So look how the first few verses are packed full with imperatives. Verse 1, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation. Declare his glory among the nations. These are lots of imperatives with lots of exclamation marks. What God's word has to say in this psalm is important. It's urgent. It's really, really urgent. So what is it that this Bible impresses on us here with such an acuteness? Well, it's essentially two calls to action. And as we'll see, both are connected with the gospel. So the first one is the gospel urges us to sing. Well, we're already quite a bit ahead, but that's all right. It calls us to sing. The call to sing is repeated three times. I think that's an amazing encouragement to those of us who love to be part of the Weihnachtslieder singen, of the carol services, and the choir singing that's coming up on Easter Sunday. There's a call to sing because the Bible teaches us that Christians are a singing people. Christians are a singing people. Now, it's fair to say that not all Christians are equally passionate about singing, although there was some of that in this morning, in this service already. But it may well be that this call to action doesn't actually excite us very much, at least not everyone. Perhaps we feel we're not very good at it. Perhaps we know we're not because someone told us. But this call is not a call to perfection. It's not a call to a talent show. It's a call to sing with a voice that the Lord God has given you. Doesn't matter what voice is calling us to sing. Now, in a few weeks' time, I have the privilege to go to an Anglican World Conference in Kigali. And can you guess what I'm really looking forward to? It's that African singing. If you're an African, your singing is so good. Your passion shines through when you sing. And this is so important for the rest of us, like me, who are perhaps emotionally a little bit more inhibited. Can I really, really encourage you not to become like us in your singing? You have such an important role here at LEC, a countercultural role, which is simply to teach us to sing well, to sing with the same passion. Because what Scripture commands here is more than moving our lips to fulfill a duty. This is a new song we are to sing, and it's a song full of joy. It's powerful, it's passionate, and it's urgent. Why else would the Holy Spirit call upon us here three times to sing? So, speaking of this new song, what does it actually mean to sing a new song? Well, surely it doesn't mean not to sing old songs, otherwise we wouldn't be allowed to sing Psalm 96. It's a very old song. Whenever God's people in the Bible sing a new song, this song is about God's victorious judgment over his enemies and the triumphant salvation he wins for his people. New songs in the Bible are about God's judgment and God's salvation. It's always like that. The first one is a song of Moses in Exodus 15. It's about judgment and salvation in the Exodus. And then you'll find them again in Psalm 33, in Psalm 40, in Psalm 96 here, Psalm 98, 144, 149, in Isaiah 42. There's quite a few new songs of salvation. And each time you find interwoven the themes of God's judgment and God's glorious salvation. And the same is true when we flick to the New Testament. There we discover new songs twice in the book of Revelation, in 5 verse 9 and in 14 verse 3. And in Revelation, this new song is being sung in heaven. Creation and church join together there in a new song, and it's a song of the Lamb of God. The song of Jesus, seated at the right hand of God, who's building his kingdom. And listen to these words of praise. I've got them for you, I think, on the next slide. Worthy are you, and meant it, this means Jesus. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal. So in other words, worthy are you, Jesus, to rule everything. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Revelation 5 is a new song of God's salvation and God's rule. Rule and judgment are synonymous in the Bible. So what does this Revelation song sung in heaven show us about Psalm 96 sung here on earth, sung in the Old Testament? Well, the connection between Old Testament and new is that the Old Testament prepares us for the salvation and victory of Jesus Christ in the new. In the same way, all the new songs in the Old Testament, like Psalm 96, foreshadow this ultimate new song of God's salvation and victory in Christ. His victory on the cross saved a people for God. Jesus established us as a kingdom and priests, so we're all called to sing this new song. Revelation is Psalm 96 fulfilled. And before we move on from this idea, I want to point out two ways in which this new song in Psalm 96 foreshadows the new song in Revelation. First of all, both of them include the idea of that it addresses all the earth. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord all the earth. Revelation 5:9, Jesus ransomed people from every tribe and language and people and nation. There is a universal claim on everyone and everything in Psalm 96, which we see fulfilled in Revelation, in the ransomed of Revelation 5. On the cross, Christ's ransom makes Psalm 96 come true. Jesus has freed people from every nation to do what? To sing in worship. The second aspect, the second foreshadowing, is found in the name of the Lord that we bless. Psalm 96, verse 2, sing to the Lord, bless his name. And it's clear that who is meant is the Lord God. Compare that to Revelation 5:9. I'm sorry that this is gone now, but listen. And see who gets the praise there. It says, worthy are you. The one who's praised is Jesus. And it must be clear that there is only one deserving praise in heaven. It's God alone. So as we join in that heavenly singing, in the praises of Jesus, we confess that Jesus is the Lord God, together with the Father and the Spirit. Jesus is the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, the gospel urges us to sing of God's salvation and judgment in Jesus. And when I say us, just let me add or repeat that this us is extremely inclusive. It's a call for all the earth, all peoples, all nations, all tongues to sing and bless the name of Jesus. It involves all of us. It involves you. It's those already redeemed, calling on those who still need to be redeemed to join this new song. So there's only two places you can find yourself at in this psalm. Either you still need to be redeemed, and then you need to hear and respond by believing that God has ransomed you by the blood of Christ. Or you are already redeemed, and then your singing is an upward praise, but also an outward call. Your singing calls others to join in. That's what we do when we gather as God's people. That's part of why we gather here this morning. We call on people to join our singing. There's a missional aspect to our singing. Now, one of our members in the German service is a great RB Leipzig fan. And last Thursday, we talked about this magnetic pull that you feel when you sing in the stadium. It's so powerful, songs of victory and triumph. And I thought, look at that. Germans can be passionate too. But brothers and sisters, we have a far greater victory. We have a more magnificent triumph to sing about. So let's sing passionately at church. Passionately about Jesus. And that's why we need you Africans. We need your help. Not just in the morning service. But perhaps even more so as we plant Christusgemeinde Leipzig. It would be such a gift from God if your heart would be moved to consider joining this church plant. Psalm 96 urges everyone to sing. Let's not miss that our singing in itself is profoundly missional. Just like stadium songs draw you in to go for Leipzig, at a far more meaningful level, this song, our songs, draw people into worshiping the Lord. And I think it's fair to say that most singing happens in our Sunday services. That's probably where we feel most comfortable singing, although your shower might be another place. And you might perhaps even remember at this point how Paul and Silas, what they were doing when they were imprisoned in Philippi in Acts 16. We read about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, perhaps this missional singing in jail is not your cup of tea, I understand that. Though as we read on, it holds promise. The Philippian jailer and his family end up coming to faith in Christ, and it all started with this song. And you might be a little bit nervous about where this implication of that might go now, but I'm not asking you to head to prison. I'm just saying God can use your Christian playlist when you have friends over next time. Singing draws people in to worship the Lord. Now, I think that's probably enough about the call to sing in Psalm 96. What's the second call? Well, it's very clear in verse 2, isn't it? The gospel urges us to tell. The gospel urges us to tell. Look at verse 2. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. So we already saw that this new song is about God's glorious work of salvation. In the Old Testament, this referred most likely to the Exodus from Egypt. In the New, it refers to the gospel, Christ's victorious redemption on the cross. But let's have a closer look at this, because this, what it tells us to share, to proclaim in the world now, and especially when. Because what it says here is, God's word calls us to tell and declare the gospel day by day. The call is not just for Sunday in a church service. The call to sing and to tell is to share the gospel from day to day, 24/7, Monday to Sunday. We're called to tell and declare the gospel among the nations. That assumes that the gospel is not just heard in a Christian Sunday service. It's meant to be heard out there in Leipzig. Whoever we are, whatever time, whatever place we find ourselves in, we're called to share the gospel with all the peoples. There is an urgency to the gospel to do so. There is an urgency because the gospel is so wonderful. The cross of Christ is a marvelous work of God. The depth of God's love, his righteousness, his holiness are so mind-blowing that the gospel is to be heard everywhere, every time, all at once. Sorry, couldn't resist. Do you sense the urgency of the gospel? Does it rewrite your agenda for life? Well, if you're like me, this urgency can catch me a little bit unprepared. All those imperatives may sound intimidating. The gospel's claim on my life may sound more like, I'm in the army now. When did I sign up for that? Others might feel a sense of failure. Well, we know this is what we should be doing, but the reality is we aren't. And if that's you, can I say that this great excitement about God's salvation is not meant to make you feel guilty? Yes, it may expose a gap in your life and mine between what is and what ought to be, but there won't be any power in our singing or telling if all we feel is guilty. So please don't think this psalm is pointing the finger at you. Rather, come with me to verse 4 and where it's really pointing us. Verse 4, where is it pointing us? For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, they're totally powerless. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. The power of our praise and evangelism, of our singing and telling, comes from focusing on God, his greatness, his power, his splendor, his majesty and strength and beauty. So in order to empower us for the urgency of the gospel and the call to action, Psalm 96 takes us to the place where we can see God most clearly. It takes us into his sanctuary. At the time of the writing, this would have invited us into the so-called tabernacle, a holy tent where God would meet with his people. Later on, the Jerusalem temple became that sanctuary where God dwelt. But they both point to this greater, perfect sanctuary in heaven, a sanctuary where only one human being has entered, Jesus Christ, on Ascension Day. So it's a place where we can't go yet. How then can we be empowered to tell and to sing? How can we behold God's magnificence? Well, if I remember correctly, the morning service has been studying the Gospel of John. And I think God's Word gives us a very clear answer there. Tells us that Jesus himself is the gospel, is the sanctuary, the temple. In his presence we meet God. In him we see God's glory at full display. So if you want to be empowered to sing and tell, we want to draw near to Jesus. We want to be captivated by his splendor and majesty, his strength and beauty. Jesus himself said that our mouths speak from the overflow of our hearts. So as our hearts are filled with more of Jesus, our mouths will overflow with new songs and gospel telling. I also want you to recognize a new dimension to this temple imagery. As Jesus returns to the Father, all of a sudden, the New Testament begins to speak of God's people as his temple. As our hearts are filled up to overflowing, we become the earthly sanctuary, which should not be mixed up with a heavenly temple, but it says that wherever people come together in the name of Jesus, wherever church happens, there is God's sanctuary. There is God's presence on earth. That's where people need to come to sing and be empowered. At church, people engage with God. At church, we see his splendor and majesty. At church, we see his strength and beauty seen in God's worshiping community as God transforms people and makes them new. That's where we see his splendor, his beauty, his glory, his majesty. And so there's a movement here, when you look at verses 7 to 9 with me, a movement that again contains a whole cluster of imperatives. Ascribe, 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 worship, tremble. And as we look more closely at those imperatives, we see a powerful movement of all nations drawing into his sanctuary, coming into church. It begins in verse 7 as we ascribe to God glory and strength, as we confess who he is. It continues in verse 8 where we are persuaded to bring an offering. And if we have Romans 12 in mind, and we look around for what might be worthy of an offering, we realize that nothing else will do, nothing less will do than our own lives. Look at Romans 12, verses 1 to 2 in your own time for that. But then with that offering, we draw near. We come into his courts. And this is where verse 9 happens. We worship the Lord. In his presence, we bow down. And we tremble. We tremble at his overwhelming power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead and that has saved us once and for all. Does that sound like church to you? Well, it should. Because that sanctuary where we bow down before him in worship is church. Here God gathers his worshiping community. Here at church, we come together, we offer our lives, we worship and we tremble. We sing in public, and here we confess to the public that the Lord reigns. And just as an aside, public in Leipzig means in German, at least primarily. Yes, English is a great language, but we are called to sing and tell in public, and that means in German. And Leipzig needs to hear this message because it's a message of great comfort. It tells us here, the earth shall never be moved because the Lord reigns. We need not fear about tomorrow. And isn't that such a beautiful and reassuring message for our fearful and anxious city, where so many are worried about tomorrow? It's such a beautiful message to a world full of suffering and injustice when we proclaim that the Lord is King and that he will judge the peoples with equity. All the injustice done in Ukraine, in North Korea, in Yemen, in Saudi Arabia, in Turkey, in Greece, in Germany. It will all be repaid by the Lord himself. And this is good news. There will be justice. So there's great reason to rejoice for all creation, verse 11. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. The trees shall sing for joy. These emotions are, of course, our emotions, because trees can't sing. But these emotions aren't at the beginning of the psalm. Rather, it's when we hear of God's salvation, when we respond to it with this gospel movement into church, then joy and gladness in the Lord are the natural outcome. And that's where our strength lies. That's what makes us sing and tell, because our hearts will overflow. And when they do, we just can't keep silent. Do you long to be filled with this joy? Well, then church is the place to be. And it's the place for others to be. There's a second aspect to the urgency of the gospel. We already touched on it, but it takes center stage in verse 13. Come with me to verse 13. It says, the Lord comes. The Lord comes to judge the earth. He will judge the earth in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. And we've seen the Lord has already come in the Lord Jesus. And he will come again, we confess, to judge the living and the dead. But the day of his coming will only be a joyful occasion for those who ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. And that's not many in Leipzig. Everyone who does not will have nothing to look forward to but dreadful judgment. Does that compel you? Is that a compelling reason for you to sing and tell of the gospel in every corner of Leipzig? So there's a clear outward movement built into this worshiping community. As we've seen, the whole earth shall sing of his glory. Every corner that doesn't do that needs to hear the call to worship. But those who sing with joy are those who are saved from God's coming judgment. And that judgment creates an urgency that fuels LEC's gospel singing and mission and gospel telling. That's our mission here in Leipzig. This is why we send missionaries to Russia, to Central Asia, to Greece and to Turkey. It's why we support Wycliffe to build websites in as many languages as possible. And it's why Andrea Heilke is gathering support to go into the mission field. But it's also why we want all of us to strive for that aim of worship here in Leipzig. It's clear that this task in Leipzig is bigger than LEC. It's bigger than the Andreas Gemeindehaus. We can't gather all of Leipzig here. And we can't reach Leipzig if we all stay here. The urgency of the gospel doesn't allow us to wait for people to come. It calls us to go out. And that's why LEC leaders have become convinced that God calls us to plant new worshiping communities around Leipzig. And we believe this call is confirmed by Psalm 96. Because this psalm calls us to plant churches so that all of Leipzig will sing and tell of his salvation. So let me ask you, is God's call to action calling you into action? Are you allowing the urgency of the gospel to rewrite your life agenda? How will you share in LEC's community effort to plant a new church? Will you pray? Will you give? Might you even go to be part of Christus Gemeinde? And whichever responses the Lord is calling you to, will you sing and will you tell of God's glorious salvation? Let's pray that we will. Heavenly Father, we praise you so much for your glorious salvation. We give you praise for your marvelous works, for the strength and beauty that we see in the Lord Jesus, and that is displayed as he transforms us here in his church. We pray, help us to fulfill our calling here in Leipzig, to say among the nations and to say in this city, the Lord reigns. And he will come again to judge the earth, to judge this city. Help us, Lord. Give us strength as we look at your power, your beauty, your majesty. In Jesus' name, amen.